Hi, welcome to Picayune Conversations. I'm Calvin, and today I'm just doing one solo, kind of just off the cuff. For those of you who are watching on video, it looks a little bit different. I'm sitting in a different place in my office, so you could see my beautiful green wall. But today I want to talk a little bit about a phrase. It pops up in the Bible, and this isn't going to be like a theological conversation by any means. I am not a theologian by any means, but I want to talk about a verse in the Bible that has an interesting psychological idea and an idea that I think really applies in relationships. And that is, there's this point in the Gospels where Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he has this phrase that he uses, and that is that we often say it: don't cast pearls before swine. Okay, in other words, don't put out pearls in front of pigs. And it's an interesting idea. And again, I just want to make very clear: I'm not going to talk about this in the kind of way that a theologian might talk about it or want to talk about it. So if you're hoping for, you know, me to break down the Greek or something like that, you're going to need to find some other podcast, because I'm not equipped to do that, nor am I even particularly interested in doing it. I just want to talk about it in terms of relationships. So here's an interesting idea to think about with pearls and pigs, okay? Is that, like, to us, pearls, you know, to a human being, a pearl is this beautiful, beautiful thing. And it's kind of like inherently beautiful. You know, like, even if I found a diamond, okay, in a mine or something, before it had been, you know, shaped and polished with all exactly the right angles and things like that, I'm not sure that I, you know, it might be like, oh, that's kind of a pretty rock or something, but I wouldn't be able to really appreciate it for what it is. But like a pearl, okay, like if you know, get an oyster, okay, and you pop that thing open and it's got some pearls in it, and you pop them out, they're just from the get-go, they are beautiful. And, you know, we could think about how they've been used as currency and how they've been used in jewelry and all of these different things. There's something inherently valuable and precious to us about a pearl, that we look at it and we understand and appreciate it for what it is. But a pig, of course, pigs are not interested in that. They are interested in finding food and in resting and in rolling around in the mud and doing what pigs do. And, of course, this doesn't make pigs bad by any means, but they're just, you know, they're just being pigs. And it's unreasonable to expect a pig to appreciate the beauty of a pearl. So if you cast pearls before swine, and if you put out pearls in front of pigs, a couple things are going to happen. I mean, for all we know, I don't know, maybe they'll try and eat it. You know, maybe it looks like a kernel of corn to them or something, and so they chomp it up. And of course, they can't digest pearls, you know, but like they, whatever, maybe they chomp it up. Or they just, and this is what actually shows up in the scriptures, depending on the translation you're reading, is that it says, you know, because they'll trample them. You know, they'll just step all over them and break them down. And so it'll just, you know, you waste these beautiful, beautiful things on something that can't really appreciate it. Now, why I think this is an interesting idea, okay, and I want to be clear that I don't want to talk about people as pigs, okay? I'm not trying to do some kind of reverse anthropomorphism, which, but I mean, like, you'll see dictators and stuff do this, right? Like, they talk about people as being pigs or dogs or cockroaches or things like that. This is not, okay, that's not the kind of analog or analogy that I'm wanting to engage in here. It's more that we need to understand that there are people in front of whom we can put the precious, beautiful parts of ourselves. And that there are people who are just fundamentally, they are not equipped to appreciate those things for what they are. And some of that comes in the form of neglect, meaning that they maybe just ignore these beautiful and precious things about us. It also can come in the form of something a little bit more hostile, okay, where maybe, this is like the trampling of the pearls in the analogy or the metaphor. But, you know, maybe it's that we put something beautiful in front of them and they take that as either a tool, you know, that they can use rather than something precious to be enjoyed and cared for. But they also can mischaracterize it. You know, they can turn it into something awful. And I want to give some examples of what this would look like. You know, I mean, there are people with whom we could be vulnerable, and they will see our vulnerability and steward that really well. You know, they will experience it as tenderness and respond to it in kind, you know, respond to it with care or with mutuality, you know, of like, oh, you're being vulnerable, I also can be vulnerable, and we can have this opportunity to connect. And that's really, I mean, that's a very beautiful thing. And there are other people, and this, I don't mean bad, awful, horrible people who must be eradicated. This is not at all what I mean, okay? But there are people who you put vulnerability in front of them, and what they will do with that, there's a whole range of what they could do. They could just ignore it, you know, they could just act as if, well, I don't know what that's about, and then change the subject, okay? And if you've ever been in that kind of a situation, that can be a really devastating experience, you know, to really be vulnerable in front of somebody and to have them just, it's not even that they have disdain for it, it's that they just don't notice it. It's like it does not occur to them that you are in a tender, vulnerable position. So sometimes that's what happens. Other times, people can take your vulnerability and they can weaponize it against you. I know that we're like having a moment where like there's a narcissist hiding behind every door. Okay. And I don't love that trend, you know, that like everybody's a narcissist, you know, everybody's a sociopath. I don't love that way of reading people. I think it's pretty uncharitable. Secondly, I think it's pretty unscientific, you know? But lastly, it kind of sucks the power out of a very real thing, okay? And that is that there actually are people who are deeply narcissistic people. And this is a common tactic of narcissists, okay, is that they will engage you in a kind of conversation in which you're apt to be vulnerable, and they will look very safe and very kind and very maybe even caring. And so then you open up and you're vulnerable. And to them, that's not vulnerability, that becomes a tool, you know, that goes in their pocket. And when it becomes useful for them to pull that back out, they can use that against you. You know, this, like, not to say that this, of course, there are plenty of narcissists outside of church settings, okay, but there are narcissistic pastors who, you know, they will have a parishioner or something confess, you know, a struggle or a sin, or something like that, you know, or a weakness or a temptation that they have. And they will do that within the context of, you know, a confidential conversation or something like that. But then later on down the road, you know, this person who has been vulnerable, they think that they've been cared for and really listened to and attended to. And then down the line, what ends up happening is they say, well, don't you remember you said that you really, you know, struggle with anger. And so don't you see that that's why you're getting angry? It's not that I mistreated you. It's that you have an anger problem. And remember, we talked about this, and they're airing out this laundry in front of other people, weaponizing vulnerability. And that, by the way, it would not take someone being a narcissist in order to do that. I don't think that I would come close to meeting diagnostic criteria for, you know, a narcissistic personality disorder or something like that. I will confess to you that, I mean, I have used people's vulnerability against them, and I am not proud of that by any means. I'm not saying that to normalize it. I'm saying there is a level, we have a human capacity to do that. I think that's what I'm trying to say. Okay, so there's, you know, there's an example. But also, you know, there are people to whom, you know, maybe you would be vulnerable in front of them, and they mischaracterize it. They pathologize your vulnerability. So like, you know, you could become tearful in front of somebody, and, you know, they could respond by saying, you know, like, why don't you grow a pair? Quit being a pussy. Stop being such a drama queen. Something along these lines. Maybe that disproportionately happens to men. I don't know. Obviously I'm not a woman, and so I can't say what it's like. I do know that it would make sense to me that things like that tend to happen a little bit more in communities that really emphasize kind of a yucky version of masculinity. Where, you know, vulnerability is somehow unmanly, where emotion is somehow unmasculine or weak or something like that. So these are instances, and by the way, that's just me talking about vulnerability. There are many other pearls that we can bring in front of people, but you could see that there are people, let's just take vulnerability for a moment. If you bring vulnerability to some people, they will take it for what it is, which is precious and beautiful. And you bring it for somebody else, and they will ignore it, and they will not see it for what it is, and not pay any attention to it. And then there are people who will use it, perhaps against you or perhaps for some other purpose, but it's a tool to them. It's not actually just, you know, a pearl. It's like really not good for anything other than admiring it and looking at its beauty. It's like, it's not a tool. It's a gem or a precious stone. And then there are people who will pathologize it and cast it as not, it's not just that they don't notice its beauty. They say, no, actually that's ugly. And the lesson here, right? Before I get to the lesson of it, let's talk about other things that you could bring in front of people as pearls. You know, trust is a pearl that we can bring to, you know, we can give trust to people who have really not earned that trust. We can bring commitment to people who have not really earned commitment. There's so many, and by the way, it's not just about like what people deserve, okay? Like, I'm not saying like, don't be charitable to somebody unless they've really proven that they're worthy of the charity. That's not what I mean. I think particularly this comes down to like, you know, pretty significant levels of vulnerability. I don't just mean in sharing, but like in ways that we make ourselves a bit vulnerable with trust or with openness or with commitment. Certainly with our emotions, with our innermost thoughts, with our confessions, with our, and all of those things. The lesson really comes down to this, that there are people who are poor candidates for that. Okay. And that, again, this does not make them awful. It does not mean that they're like a subclass of people. It means that at least in the present moment, they are not bringing to the table what is required for a certain kind of dynamic. Okay? It's like 8-year-olds are, there's a reason that we don't legally allow 8-year-olds to marry each other. And it's not because they're bad. It's not because they're stupid. It is not because they are a subclass of people. I'm thinking of I don't have an 8-year-old, but like my son is 9 and my daughter's about to turn 7. They are my two favorite people on the planet. I think that they are the most marvelous people I've ever encountered in my life. I in no way, shape, or form think of them as belonging to a subclass of people. And I don't think that they bring to the table what is required for a healthy, long-term, lifelong relationship with another person. And that's okay. You know, it's not about like above and below. It's not about a subclass of people, but it is about recognizing that like there are certain things that are required for certain realities to take place for a healthy relationship in the, you know, relative to our conversation today. There are things that are required for a healthy relationship. And one of those is that you see a pearl as a pearl, that you do not experience it as something else, that you do not ignore it, that you do not treat it with disdain, that you do not treat it as a tool, that you, you know, that you don't twist it and turn it into something other than what it is. And so here's why this is, I think, really important. There are a lot of things that happen within the context of relationships, and those can be professional, those can be kind of friendships, those can be romantic or intimate relationships, those can be in family relationships, where we continue to set ourselves up for disappointment, for sadness, for pain, when we keep bringing to the table these pearls, right? And we think, no, but like, look, maybe they need more pearls, or they need my best pearls, or they need, you know, maybe if I shine them up and polish them really well, and then I put them in front of them, then this will work. Maybe that then we can have the connection that I'm really craving. And the reality is that there are people to whom polishing up pearls will actually help a bit. And that means that somebody will see a pearl as a pearl. It's like, oh my gosh, well, I know that that's a pearl, and wow, it is really extra shiny. And so now maybe I'm a little bit more apt to respond to it. But this is the thing. Pigs don't care how shiny the pearls are, and they can't tell the difference between a bad pearl and a good pearl, or the best pearl. They just can't. It is not in their nature. It is not in the character of what they are to be responsive to something precious and beautiful like that. And so you'll see this in families, that people keep, you know, they just keep trying, they keep being so forgiving and so kind and so generous and so helpful, and they just go, they do and they do and they do and they do, and at the end of the day, there's nothing really to it. They keep getting disappointed and mistreated because all of those contributions, rather than being appreciated for what they are as contributions and acts of love, they are treated as entitlements or tools to use, or as insufficient, or whatever. We could fill in the blanks, you know. Trust, you know, oh well, I'm gonna take this risk, I'm gonna make myself vulnerable, even though you have shown me time and time and time again that when I am vulnerable, you will not handle that well, that you will ignore it, you will not listen, you will characterize it as weakness, you will use it against me, whatever the case. You know, even reconciliation, you know, we have this amazing, and I think a very beautiful capacity as human beings to reconcile with other people who have hurt us, and even like quite severely. That is a marvelous, incredible capacity that we have as a species. It's really, really beautiful. And there are some people who will exploit that. Excuse me. They'll exploit that by saying, oh, okay, like, so I guess that I can just do whatever I want, and maybe it hurts you, but at the end of the day, like, you'll reconcile with me. And that's somebody not appreciating a pearl, right? That's just them trampling on pearls. They don't really understand the beauty of it. They don't understand the value of it. They do not treat it as precious. So there's one side of it, okay? And that is that, don't be casting your pearls before swine, okay? The most precious, best parts of yourself, give people a chance, okay? But pay attention to what they do. Some people may respond well. Some people may respond good-ish, okay? And maybe those people need to be helped along a little bit, and, you know, you can let them know how you'd like them to respond or things like that. But, and then there are going to be people who they are not equipped to steward the best parts of you well. And it's okay to make that characterization. It doesn't mean that you have to be contemptuous or put these people down or think of them as narcissists or sociopaths or horribly immoral people, but it also means that you don't have to keep casting your pearls in front of them. Now, that's one half of it. The other half, and of course I'm not going to talk for 20 more minutes about this, but the other half of it is this. We need to be really aware when people are bringing us pearls. Like, let's not be pigs. Let's not be swine. Let's pay attention. Let's learn to steward well the precious parts of another person. There are times in session as a counselor when I sit here in my office and I am very tired and I've got my own stuff going on, and a client comes in and they are sharing things with me, and this, not that this happens often or even particularly frequently, but there are times that I find myself very disinterested in what a client is saying. And what that is that's me not seeing a pearl for a pearl. My client has been courageous enough to come into this room to sit with somebody that they really don't know very well, even if they've been seeing me for a long time. You know, it's just at the end of the day, they don't really know me very well. They're being very trusting. And I can sit there being like, well, yeah, but there's all this other stuff that's more interesting to me or more important to me or whatever. And that's I'm being a pig. Okay, and I'm not trying to be unkind to myself, but I'm being a bit of a pig. And so I would wager to say that every single person who's listening to this, including myself as I listen to myself speak, okay, every single one of us, there is an instance in our life where somebody is bringing us pearls and we are trampling on them. And I would invite you, and I'm going to invite myself, you know, to think about that a little bit and to see if there is a way that we can be a little bit more sharp in how we look at and perceive our world. I'm thinking of my children, you know, that like I'm over here scrolling on my phone or something, and they want to tell me some joke that I've heard 700 times. I need to have eyes to see that that is a pearl, right? That what they're trying to do, it'll make me emotional in this moment. Like, they're trying to share a moment of joy. They're trying to enrich my day with some laughter and some silliness. And for me to think of it as an annoyance is just a trample on pearls. And look, okay, that doesn't make me a terrible father. It just makes me a human being, but it's also something that I can work on and I can improve on. So don't cast your pearls before swine, and don't be swine when people are casting pearls. This is a beautiful thing to think about in relationship, and it's exciting to think about the kinds of relationships that we could curate if we were to be a little bit more thoughtful about pearls and what is precious and what's beautiful in other people and in ourselves. So take that for what it is. I'm sure that we'll have another. I believe that we're going to kind of get back to our series on emotions. I think we have a few more emotions that we're going to explore. But this will be just maybe a little quick break from that and an interesting topic. Please, as always, let us know if you have questions or comments. We usually in the description of the episode, there's always a link that you can use in order to fill that out and contact us. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you so much. We'll see you next time. Bye.